Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Content warning. Check the show notes for more information. It's January 31st, 1961, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Aria, Rebecca, and Ollie, the Retrospectors.
When one of the first astronauts to orbit the Earth died in 1983, the plan was to have his body stuffed and put on display at the U.S. Smithsonian Institute, which prompted an editorial from the Washington Post which read, "Talk about dreadful precedents, it should be enough to make any space veteran more than a little nervous." But, of course, the astronaut in question was neither Yuri Gagarin nor Alan Shepard, but rather Ham the Chimp, who lifted off on his suborbital flight today in history in 1961.
Although he was only publicly known as Ham the Chimp after he'd successfully landed back on Earth. Before then, he was referred to by NASA simply as Number 65, for fear that the press would latch on to a cute name for a chimp they were about to boost into space in a rocket.
Yeah, but despite his ordeal, which included 6.5 minutes of weightlessness and, of course, the tremendous forces involved in being, you know, booted into space, when Ham landed, as scheduled in the Pacific Ocean, he had suffered no ill effects except fatigue, dehydration, and a bruised nose from hitting his plexiglass capsule as he fell into the ocean, where the USS Donner was waiting to pick him up. They got to him a few hours later, which resulted in an incredible photo where they got him on the deck and they've opened this plexiglass capsule. It only measured 40 by 20 by 16 inches. And the captain has sort of reached out and Ham has taken his hand and it just looks like he's just shaking the astronaut's hand, like welcoming him back to Earth. It's incredible.
It's interesting that you've just taken the party line on this, by the way, Rebecca.
Whoa,
you know, he touched down with nothing worse than a bruised nose. I mean, psychological injuries aren't necessarily obvious in a photo from 1961, are they?
Yeah.
And the USS Donner reaching him after only a few hours? I mean, it was supposed to be right there.
Okay, a few hours is a lot of time to bob around in the ocean in a plexiglass capsule.
Nearly drowned, Rebecca.
Yes, with a crack in it that was leaking water. He'd just been blasted into space, landed 132 miles from where he was supposed to, and then had to wait to be rescued.
And I must say, even though it looks like he's even smiling in this photo,
that's just chimp face.
Resting chimp face. Well, the primatologist Jane Goodall said, "I've never seen such terror on a chimp's face," which, you know, naturally, I guess, does look like a smile when you're a chimp. He seemed to be relatively relaxed until the paparazzi came along, and then he got very distressed and began protesting, which he would. I mean, who wants to have paparazzi's cameras in their face after something like that?
He was like, "Yeah, I signed up to go 5,857 miles per hour into space. I did not sign up to be on the front page of Newsweek, guys."
Yeah.
So the way that they trained Ham to endure this flight, and by the way, that name Ham was given to him in the end as an acronym from the Holloman Aerospace Medical Center, which was the facility he was trained at. The way that they trained him was using a pretty controversial technique called avoidance conditioning, which is basically electrocution. Hmm. So he'd sit in a special seat, which they called the biopack. It's a good euphemism, isn't it? Rather than ape torture restraint. And in the biopack, there were...
We're originally going to call it the chimp shocker.
Little electric probes in his feet. He would be trained to pull a lever within 5 seconds of seeing a flashing blue light. And if he failed to do that, he would get an electric shock to the soles of his feet.
Successful operation of the levers would result in banana-flavoured treats, which are apparently the chimp's favourite. There was an incredible article in the US Air Force magazine that's describing the regime of what they term the chimpanauts. Other sources call them the astro-chimps. I don't think they ever settled on a definitive term.
When it feels like you're quoting Kent Brockman, but you're probably not.
Well, it goes through their training regime, and obviously this is 1962. They're not shedding too many tears about the chimps being electrocuted and kept in cages and experimented on, etc. You know, it's all done in a very gee whiz, America has got the space program of the future. But it is incredible, like the level that they trained them to. You know, they weren't just training them, you know, see a light, pull a lever. They trained them that this lever, you have to wait 20 seconds and then pull it, and then 20 seconds and pull again. This one you have to pull twice. And they had little spacesuits for them. They had all of this, basically all of the same things, like the G-force training that the human astronauts would go through, these chimps were going through. You know, and the final phase of training took place in a mock-up of the Mercury rocket capsule, where the chimp would be strapped in and learn to manipulate the real control panel. And Ham was selected not just because he was smart, he was ultimately selected because he seemed, quote, particularly feisty and in good humor.
It sounds sort of like they had a sort of like, is he photogenic enough? Is he cool enough? Is this how cool this chimp, you guys?
Does he look like he's smiling when he's electrocuted repeatedly through his feet?
But as you say, like, the level of detail that they went to with him does resemble a whole lot of stuff. Like, the period before he was launched into space, where all of the prospective chimpanauts were taken aside so as to prevent them from catching colds from the others who they'd trained with, all has, you know, so much resonance with eventually the way that astronauts were trained and kept away from other humans before their mission, because obviously it's a hugely expensive thing to do and you don't want people getting sick. This was like just before they started sending people up. So all of the research they did had to be immediately pertinent.
Yeah, and actually, when I heard they sent a chimp into space, I did imagine a trauma going on for days. It was for 16 and a half minutes in total until he crashed into the ocean, which was obviously traumatic in a different way. Mm. So, I mean, from an animal rights perspective, I understand the people who say, well, I think you should test on animals for medicine, but for nothing else, because we need medicine, but we don't need to travel to space. It's like cosmetics. But I can see the counterview, of course, which is that the people at NASA thought our survival as a species ultimately depends on space travel. And so Ham's a really necessary pioneer. And 16 and a half minutes of suffering, and then he lives anyway, is certainly worth it.
Yes. I mean, I think there's something to that, except that any time you announce an experimental space program, there are so many people who are bizarrely willing to put their hands up. I was recently reading about prospect of a Mars mission being a one-way trip has not deterred thousands of people from wanting to go on this thing. And I'm just like, who are these people who are willing to do it? So maybe they didn't need chimps. There would have been mad people who are like, yep, strap me to the front of that rocket, I'm going up.
Well, and although he was visibly stressed during the, let's face it, it was an ordeal, Ham was nonetheless able to perform his tasks almost as quickly as he did in training, almost as accurately. So like all of that training had paid off, like, in a weird way. I know that it's difficult because he's obviously an animal and there's no consent, but like, he did perform the tasks he'd been trained to do like a human would perform the tasks he'd been trained to do, even in the face of, you know, hurtling through space.
Well, except as we've discussed on the show before, a human might pause for some looking back at Earth, blue marble style, contemplating the meaningless of war.
Exactly.
He didn't do that.
Ham was all business.
Just like, colours into the right order, folks, that's what I'm doing. No time for existentialism here.
And this is what was learnt from this mission that wasn't possible in previous ones using animals, where, you know, they were just strapping a cat to a chair. Ham was able to demonstrate that humans were physically and mentally capable of performing tasks in space. And without that, there would have been no use in going to space at all.
So afterwards, he was put into the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. for 17 years of solitude. I really feel like PR-wise, that's something that NASA wouldn't do now.
Mm.
But in a way, I suppose it's better than him being wheeled out on The Tonight Show every day, isn't it?
Do you think he spent the whole time just boring all the other chimps in the neighbouring enclosures with his stories about going to space?
Yeah.
No, he never saw any chimps, Rebecca. Again, there you are, putting a positive spin on it. No, he was alone. And then he was put with other chimps towards the end of his life, but only managed 3 years with them. He died young for a chimp.
Yeah, he died at the age of just 25. And do you know, I started this by saying that there had been some suggestion that his body would be stuffed and he'd be put on display. And then basically the public reaction was that people were just horrified by this suggestion. And so NASA's response was, they were like, okay, we're not going to stuff him. We're just going to put all of his bones into a tray and keep them in this tray in a drawer for, you know, until now. Like, they are still, his bones are still in a tray in a
but
drawer.
But the rest of him, they say, is buried at the International Space Hall of Fame, the rest of him, the like tissue and sinew and skin that they peeled off with knives.
Just stripped him. Yeah.
Pretty rank. Although I do understand why you would keep his bones because, you know, they are of scientific interest. There may yet still, I suppose, be some evidence of, you know, what the pressure of space does to a mammal's bones, which they need to look at.
The amazing thing also is that they continued sending chimps into space right up until the 1990s. Animal rights groups only really got through to the people who were running these missions a good 30 years after all of this was going on.
The second chimp to go into space, Enos the chimp, went up in his biopack, and then it had a malfunction in orbit, subjecting him to 76 electric shocks, oof, which they were unable to control. But, you know, America's learned its lesson. Iran's still at it. They sent a monkey into space as recently as 2013. And the best bit, though, is they then proudly boasted that it had returned safely, because that's quite important since the Americans did that in 1961, obviously, to show that you can do the same. But then it was pointed out that the before and after photos were of two different monkeys. And they're like, oh, well, just really changed his face being up there. Don't know how.
Tomorrow.
So while Portugal was drawing a sort of horizontal line through the continent...
Ditch the ads and get a Sunday episode when you join Club Retrospectors. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts.
Part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.